This talk is brought to you by iBiology.org, and this audio was taken from a video available on our website.
Hi, I'm Bill Lindstedt. I'm the Assistant Vice Chancellor for Career Advancement, International, and Postdoctoral Services at UC San Francisco. And this is a seminar series, actually, on how to find jobs as industry scientists. The first of this series is just a lot of information on how you might start preparing for the job search before you even start applying for positions. And before we jump into the content, I'll just say a little bit about myself. I've been working for many years with PhD-level biomedical scientists as they move into from their training positions at UCSF into industry positions. And the material that I'm presenting in this whole workshop series is just kind of the compilation of stories that I've seen work for those trainees as they've successfully moved into industry, and what works for them and what hasn't worked. And I've tried to put that information into what I hope is a useful seminar series for you as you're preparing to do the same thing. So the seminar series starts out with information on how to prepare for the whole job application process. So there's a series of things that I'll tell you that you should be doing before you even start sending out applications. And then we'll move to the next piece, which is how to prepare resumes and apply for industry jobs. And then the third part is what happens when all those applications start producing interviews. How do you succeed when you're interviewing for industry scientist positions? And then finally, what happens when you get that great job offer? How do you ask for more? So we'll talk about compensation negotiation for that first job in industry as well. In this seminar, the goals are to help improve your understanding of some unique features of the biotech industry, especially as they apply to scientist job seekers. Along the way, I hope to sort of demystify how industry works and how people get jobs in industry. And we'll talk about how to find and connect with scientists in industry. Who should you be talking to? How do you find scientists? Because when you go to, you know, a company's website, they don't list all the scientists like an academic institution does. So how do you find those people? And then how do you approach them and what do you say? And the core point right before we even get started is that scientists find jobs through other scientists, not through the human resource department. And so we spend a lot of time at the beginning talking with you about how to find other people who have moved into industry and have scientist positions that you can connect with. We'll talk about what you should know before you even start your job search, some unique facts about the industry job market, finding company information and finding scientists at those companies using such tools as LinkedIn or PubMed, and we'll talk about informational interviews. So once you find scientists and find companies that you want to work for and scientists at those companies, how do you connect with them through the informational interview process and learn about themselves, learn about their jobs, how they transition to industry, and how they might give you advice that will help you actually move to the application process. So first of all, I think that everyone who is considering approaching the industry job market after a PhD or after a postdoc should just do some background reading first. And a couple of suggestions are the consulting and accounting firm Ernst & Young publishes an annual global biotechnology report. And this isn't going to tell you where, you know, what companies are hiring in the next year or what scientists to approach to at those companies. It's really global information about what subsectors of the biotech or pharmaceutical industry are growing, geographical locations are getting invested in, what types of money is flowing to what types of companies. And that just gives you an idea of where the growth might be, and perhaps it might help you understand where your skills and interests might fit in. And then after that very global information, start reading company information. So subscribe to the biospace.com newsfeed, and you'll get a digest of articles that you can just flip through. And after you start doing this for a few weeks, you'll start to see for yourself what companies are getting invested in and who's growing and where's the money flowing. And that obviously dictates where the jobs are going to be flowing as well. So good information to have from Biospace. And then finally, understand how a biotech company works. And I think the best resource I've seen for that is a book written by Toby Friedman, who's a molecular biologist as well as a recruiter for biotech companies. And she interviewed hundreds of people in the biotech industry and who worked in different functions. And all of them had PhDs or MDs. And she put together This book that describes functional area by functional area, how a biotech company works and where scientists fit in those companies. So if you're starting to look for job postings already and you see there's a scientist one and some people are called associate scientists or senior scientists, or there's scientists working in business development and it's all very confusing, reading her book will help you understand the differences between those job titles so that when you go apply for jobs, you'll be able to do it more intelligently. So you've done a bunch of background reading and learning about how biotech companies work and the biotech industry works. My next suggestion is to start with a list of companies that you are most interested in. And you might base those on the disease focus that you want to work in, a product area that you're interested in, location if you're geographically bound. Maybe you want to work for only And then suppose you get this big list of 20 or 30 companies, and now your job is to start finding scientists at those companies and their contact information. A lot of people don't think about using PubMed for this purpose. You look, you look at PubMed for authors or for content area, but you can also do an affiliation search and find publications that have been affiliated with the employer of the author. So for an example, you might say Amaris Biosciences, which is a Bay Area, sort of metabolic engineering company. If you enter them as a search word and then click on the affiliation search function, you'll see that at the time I did this search, five hits came up, so five papers affiliated with that company name. And then you can start seeing the authors' names. So now you have scientists at that company and their names. And if you look for the corresponding author's email address, then you start seeing what the convention is within that company for email addresses. So suddenly, once you know the name of a scientist, now you know their email address as well. Most companies use the same convention for all of their employees. So at this company, you see Dr. Zhao was the first author on that paper or the corresponding author on the paper. And his email address is zhao@amaris.com. So now you can probably figure out how to reach anybody you wanted to once you know their name at Amaris. You could also do this, however, through just Google searching. If you Google, at thecompanyname.com, so at amaris.com, you'd see that apparently Amaris's email convention is last name at Amaris by reading through the returns you get from a search like that. So kind of sneaky, but it's definitely not as hard to find people and how to reach them at companies as you might think it is. You can also use LinkedIn very effectively to find scientists and companies who are working in your desired skill area, product or disease focus area. And this seems especially useful for people who say, well, I'm not necessarily a breast cancer researcher, so I can't find companies that are working in the breast cancer space because I actually just want to do I want to focus on a knowledge area or a skill set. So let's take metabolic engineering. If you put that in the search function in LinkedIn and then click on the people search function, you'll see the profiles of people who have the phrase metabolic engineering in their descriptions of themselves. And then you could start to generate a list of employers of those people, and suddenly you start getting your list of companies as well as the names of people at those companies. In this case, a metabolic engineering people search in turn in my own LinkedIn account returns names like Intrexon, Amaris, Lygos, a number of people who are out there working in those companies. And if that were my search, now I'd have three companies I didn't have before in just a quick search of LinkedIn. So LinkedIn can be really useful in a way that most people don't tend to use it, which is I'm going to work on my own profile and hope people find me. You can use it backwards as well. So now let's assume that you've generated lots of information about these companies that you would like to work at, the names of scientists at those companies, and what do you do with all that information? What do you say to these people now that you're going to hopefully reach out to them? Well, my suggestion is to start well before you actually are desperate to have that job offer, 6 months or a year or more, and start approaching these people on your list for informational interviews. And this is a technique of finding information about jobs and companies and eventually job opportunities through talking to people who have jobs that you might aspire to. And the farther you are away from needing a job, the easier it is to have a relaxed, informal conversation where that person is giving you advice about what you should do next, and then you have time to follow up on that advice. Rather than, if you ask to approach a scientist in industry and you're desperate for a job and they don't have a job, they don't know how to be helpful. But if you approach a scientist in industry and you say, I'm just beginning to look for positions, would you meet with me and provide some advice? A lot of people are going to be happy to do that. It's a more comfortable situation for them, and you get more out of it as well. So an informational interview is a tool where it's not about asking for a job in the moment. It's not a job interview at the moment. It may lead to leads about jobs, and it may turn into a job interview at some point. But at this point, it's something you requested from a person that you have, who has a position that you may aspire to. It helps you explore the opportunities, learn about companies or people, and then sort of fine-tune your job search process before the stakes are high and you are actually applying for jobs. So you'll conduct these by phone or in person is best. A lot of people do them by phone or Skype. It's not that useful to email someone and say, I have a, you know, a list of questions that I'd like to email you. Can you respond? That takes a lot of their time and you get less useful information. So in person or phone or Skype. Usually our students and postdocs, when they do this, ask for a 30-minute slot of time and then try to stick to that because people are busy and you want to be respectful. If you can actually go to a person's workplace, that's best, although many people will ask to meet you for coffee or just tell you that they'd like to talk to on the phone. All of those are okay. By the end of an informational interview, you should, you know, have a pretty good understanding of what that person does. You should know what skills or background, what brought that person to their job, what helped them get a job, some advice from them on what you should do to tailor your position, approach for positions in that field, what it takes to succeed once you get the job, what are the future career prospects in that field, and then you should always ask, you know, who else should I be talking to? Are there other potential targets that I might approach? And then as you conduct the actual questions from this interview, they tend to fall into a few different categories. One is maybe you start out with the day-to-day position. What is it that goes into that person's role? Or maybe you start out with their own career path. So ask them questions about how they got into the field, what they like about it, what advice they'd give about their own career path and what they've learned from that. You should have some company-specific information. So if you're reaching out to that person because you're fascinated in their company, make sure you have a few questions tailored to that company. And then remember to wrap up with these sort of network-building questions. So this sounds like a really interesting field, or your company sounds really interesting. Is there anyone else I should be talking to? Some people are perplexed about how to set these informational interviews up, but it's actually pretty simple. You'll email someone that you've put on your list, and then tell them some catchphrases that tend to get people's attention and really provide a good framework for understanding about what it is you're asking for. So I'm beginning to think about making a change from academic research into industry. I'm not asking for a job. I'm only seeking information and opinions on our field and what it's like to transfer from an academic role in this field to an industry role in this field. Let them know in this email that you're writing that you're going to be brief and structured. If they'll meet with you, offer to buy coffee or lunch. Perhaps they'll buy you coffee or lunch because they have a job and you need one. And then when you have this conversation, make sure you're taking notes because you will be following up with them periodically after this experience that you have with them. If you go to the website myidp.sciencecareers.org and click on the Talk to People tab, there's an entire tutorial with sample correspondence in it that might help you go through this process in a more structured fashion. But here's a note that you can see how, if you receive this letter, it would be kind of easy to say yes to this. So you're approaching an industry scientist and you say, you know, dear Dr. Adams, I've been reading about the work of your company and in particular about your very interesting work. I am from the same field and we're connecting because we have these similar backgrounds. You know, I'm just beginning to think about the next step in my career and I would love to be able to talk with you about how you made your transition. I'm not asking for a job. I'm only seeking information and advice about this field and how you made your transition. So many people tell us that they got their job through an approach like this, and so they're willing to give back and help other people. Some people just like to mentor, and so that's why they're willing to do these. And some people just like to talk about themselves and their jobs because they're excited. And so you'll be surprised how many people respond to you and will be willing to give a little bit of time in order to help you along in your own career. So you'll follow up after you take your notes and get all the information from this person with a quick, sincere thank you note within 2 days, I would say 3 days max. But then remember that, you know, a couple weeks later, you can start dripping out a periodic email, maybe 2 or 3 times over a 2 or 3 month period that keeps your name in front of this person and lets them know that if there's something that comes up, they might they'll be in, you'll be in their mind, and they might tell you about a position that comes up. But you won't necessarily want to ask them for that. Instead, you can just keep your name in front of them by sending a one or two line thank you note that says, you know, when we met, you suggested I look at some information about this company. I did that. It was really helpful. Thank you. I mean, everyone loves to get a one line thank you note. It's not a bother, and it's not asking them to do something else. But if something comes up at that company and they keep hearing from you, they're more likely to say, oh, let me send her a note about that company, that other company that's hiring that I heard about. So this is the way to help keep people in your network helping you. And then make sure that you follow our advice for writing short thank you notes periodically. A sample is in the slide deck, as I mentioned before. So this is a lot of information for how you get to the point of gathering enough information on the types of employers and the type of people you'll need to connect with so that you're prepared to apply for jobs. In the next seminar, we'll talk about how to prepare a resume and then how to start getting your resume out there so that industry scientist positions start calling you for interviews. Thanks for listening.
Visit us at ibiology.org for more free talks from the world's top scientists. Funding is provided by the National Science Foundation and the National Institute of General Medical Sciences.